Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
You are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from Jeannie Kane. I finally found a uniform I'm completely obsessed with. Jeannie Kane is a California brand through and through, and their staples make getting dressed easier than it's ever been before. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. Find your new uniform at JeannieKane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code RATCHET at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at JeannieKane.com. Promo code RATCHET. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, you are listening to Ratchet and Respectable. I hope you like today's sound. We're live from the bedroom. I prefer recording in the kitchen, but the sound is better in the bed. And also, I've been in the bed most of the day. Why, you might ask? Because I didn't go to bed until 1 p.m. I was up all night doing my damn taxes. I did technically wait until the last minute. I started on it last week and I was doing it in bit by bit pieces. And then, you know, I was like, oh, I'll just work on it a little every day. And then I did that for 2 days and then didn't work on it at all. And then was like, oh shit, it's the 15th. Yeah. I think I'm gonna start an OnlyFans, and not just for feet either. Like, I'm gonna have to shake some ass or something. Maybe not some ass. That's not really my strong part. I got titties though. I could do that. I could market to white men. Y'all think I'm playing. Last night, I was doing these taxes. And you know how they show you the number? They need to stop doing that to people because it's traumatizing. So I put in like all of the income. And then it was like, okay, based on your income, your tax owed. I saw the number. Oh my God. Like literally my chest started hurting. And I was like, who gonna pay this? I knew logically that I still had to put in the deductions, but just seeing the number on my screen talk about you, oh, and that was just federal. We didn't even get to state. And I was like, oh God, oh God. Yeah. It's a blessing to earn an income that allows me to live my life in the way I so choose without having to cut too many corners. But around tax time, woo, child, I was like, I need a husband, a kid, a house, something, somebody. But then my friends with husbands, kids, and houses were like, really, the deduction's not that much. It, like, don't do it for that. Do it for love. Do it for investment. But don't do it for taxes. I'm like, you sure? Look, a single lady of a certain age with a certain income needs some deductions. I was talking to my dad the other day because obviously I didn't get the condo. Is that obvious? I didn't get the condo. I pulled out of the deal, which is really, it's not the end of life. I'd be real dramatic about stuff sometimes, but it's just like a mental fuck. Like I planned out my life for like the next, I don't know, 5 years or so, largely based around buying this condo and the time that I was going to spend overseas. And then, you know, it's not happening. And as my father quickly pointed out, they got other condos. It's not like they just got one building. They was building all them places when I was there. And they were. It's just a matter of, I feel like I got to go back to Ghana to go find a place. And then I hadn't planned to go back until next year because I had a whole plan about traveling other places on earth until my condo was ready. And then I would go back to Ghana and set up the condo and be in the condo. It was a whole thing. So now I don't know what I'm doing with my life. There's 50 million possibilities. I mean, all these things will be figured out in time. But as of right now, nothing's figured out. And it's just really stressing me out. Contrary to popular belief, like I don't just move. I mean, to a degree, I do operate on like vibes. But for little things, for like the bigger things in my life, like where I'm going to live is actually planned out at least 2 years in advance. Now I have no life plan after, what, February? I'm like, do I return to America? Do I go to South America? Do I go to Mexico? Do I go to Asia? I don't know. Ghana was like my big, like, yes. Like that was a very clear, yes, we're doing this. Everywhere else is like, I mean, I could. I love my place here in South Africa. And I actually thought about buying a place here. It's actually cheaper than Ghana, which if we're being honest, better infrastructure. I walked into the grocery store the first week I was here and thought I was back in America. And I was like, oh my God, they got everything, 10 of everything. It's completely not necessary. It's the American in me and us that makes us think we need 60 options of cheese or like an entire aisle of cereal. We don't. The rest of the world doesn't operate like we do with like an overabundance. Or at least an overabundance for sale. Everyone's not able to access it, but it is there if you're able to afford it. But the rest of the world doesn't operate like that. Everything is, you know, smaller, neater, cuter, except here. South Africa is very go big or go home, which I appreciate. It's just, and Cape Town is absolutely lovely. It's like living in a retreat. I thoroughly enjoy it, but I kind of wonder if the absence of Black faces in abundance, they exist. But it's very overwhelmingly white. It doesn't bother me for now, but I'm only 2 weeks in. We'll see how that feels in 2 months. Because it used to drive me up a wall in California. And there's hella Black people. I'm just used to, you know, 99% Black in Ghana. And then, you know, I grew up in PG. I mean, there are white people, but they like work behind the counter. They don't live in your neighborhood. You can function in PG County in like a largely Black enclave and be just fine. And just for clarity, because I know there are white people listening like, oh, my God, you hate us. It's like, no, I don't. I'm just, you know, comfortable around Black people. There's issues that come up in the presence of whiteness. I don't feel like going into that today, though. But yeah, so I'm just in a little phase. I really haven't been posting online like that just because there's nothing to post. All I do every day is work out. I walk 45 minutes outdoors every day just because I can. And it's beautiful. And there's water everywhere. Cape Town is super hilly, so if I want to get like a really good workout, it's easy to go for a hike. I mean, literally, you can just walk up the sidewalk. You don't even have to go to the mountain, although I do want to. I do want to do a hike. But also the promenade, I think I told you that, is very close to my house. So I walk the promenade a lot, and the weather here is kind of perfect. Like the high is 70, but the sun is John Blaze, so it feels like 80, 85 if you want to go lay out in the sun. But if you just want to go walk around in a t-shirt, like walk, work out. Like you can work up a good sweat without feeling like abused by the sun. Because the water's right there. There's like a nice breeze off the water. It's kind of perfect. I walked to this place called Bantry Bay yesterday. And I think I posted a picture on my socials. But it's got the 12 apostles, the mountain range in the background. And then there's like a small town, like a bunch of houses and shops and such. And then like the beach was right there. And I was, you know, sitting so I could see the beach and the mountains and the shops at the same time. And I was like, this place doesn't even look real. Like, it's so freakishly beautiful. I remember why I wanted to come back here. Because when I told my dad, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing Ghana and then I'm going to Cape Town. And he was like, for what? You've already done Cape Town. You don't need to go to Cape Town. And I was like, have you been to Cape Town? Okay, then. No, like I really love it here, but I don't have that Ghana. I don't have that thing that I have with Ghana. I love Ghana in the same way that I love New York City, Brooklyn specifically. It's a dysfunctional relationship. There's so many things wrong with that city as in New York. There's so many things wrong with that city as in Accra. Like, shit drives me up a wall in both of them. And yet, I have like some compelling urge to be there and have FOMO if I'm not. Oh, it drives me up a wall. I was talking to one of my friends earlier today, Super B. I want to tell you what her nickname is, but as I was thinking to say it just now, I realized like the roots of it are kind of racist. And as an inside joke, it works, but to say on the podcast, it would be very inappropriate. So let's just call her Super B. I was telling her about my confusion and I don't know what to do. And, you know, I hate being in this mind space because usually I'm very clear about what I want and I have some sort of path of what I'm trying to do. And right now I'm just kind of like, So there's kind of a summer plan. I'll definitely be in the States all summer. But as for fall, like, I don't know. Everything's up in the air. Not my favorite position to be in. Not going there. Moving along. Watching Netflix without using ExpressVPN is like paying for a gym membership, but only being able to use the treadmill. Netflix has different content available to users depending on where you're located. They have thousands of shows, but if you don't use ExpressVPN, then you only get access to a fraction of them. ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think you're located. They have almost 100 different server locations, so you can gain access to thousands of new shows. This works with many other streaming services too, like BBC iPlayer, YouTube, and more. I've had ExpressVPN on all of my devices forever. Right now, instead of downloading a new app, I'm watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on Indian Netflix. ExpressVPN is so easy to use. All you do is open it, select your country, tap one button to connect, and refresh Netflix to watch. What I love most about ExpressVPN is it's compatible with all my devices. I can watch whatever show I want from anywhere in the world, from my phone, my laptop, my smart TV, and more. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/ratchet. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/ratchet to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Do we have good black news this week? We have good news. The WNBA, they had their draft the other night. My fave, my boo, Angel Reese, saw she was number 7. More importantly, because it's not like she's getting paid off it. Did you see her outfit though? I feel like it was a Grace Jones look, except like she has really long hair, but the actual dress, I thought it was very Grace Jones. I loved it. She's such a pretty girl. And I love, and it's not just her. There's some other women in the sport. I'm not familiar with their names. But I saw pictures from the draft. And I don't know if this is a regular thing or a new thing. I've never paid attention to the women's draft before. I think at one point there was a stereotype of what, specifically, I think basketball players, very negative stereotypes. We don't need to name them. But it was just that they were masculine. They were hard to love the sport. Then you were assumed not to be, one, feminine, or two, hetero. I care very much less about the hetero or otherwise of it than I do about the femme of it. I loved seeing all these like gorgeous, model-esque, athletic women with these amazing bodies and these gorgeous gowns and well-tailored suits. I appreciated the glamour of it all. And I was like, oh, is this what women's basketball is bringing us? We get sport and femme fashion tied into one. It's like the athletes are also models. It's fascinating. But no, Angel Reese went number 7. I think she's going to, did I read that right? She's going to Chicago. She and, I hope I don't butcher her name, Camila Cardoso. Remember the real tall girl that pushed somebody? She's super tall and super beautiful and apparently a really good player because she's going to Chicago too. Good and congratulations for them. And also Camila looked freaking amazing. She had on a red suit. Her hair was really long and really cute and really curled. Both beautiful ladies. I saw Caitlin Clark. She's the number one draft pick. I want to be careful how I phrase what they're paying her because I don't want to act like, what is she getting? I saw it on Joy Reid's page and I was outraged. I know the number for the first year, like 76,000. To play WNBA, not NBA, Caitlin Clark, as the number one draft pick, signed a 4-year contract. The total of the entire contract, she's not making this per year. She's making this over the course of 4 years, $338,056. The first year she gets paid $76,000. This year, next year she gets, it's a little bump. I don't even know if that's enough for inflation, but okay, $78,000 next year. And then 2026, she makes almost $86,000. And then 2027, after 4 years in the WNBA, they will pay her almost $100,000, $97,582. Take the context out of it. This is nice money. Most people will be very happy to make this amount of money. They would live well and they would live a nice life. Contrary to all the people that live on social media, and we have these constant conversations about people making six figures, it's only something like, it's either 10% or 12% of the Black population in America that makes six figures. Although everyone online makes six figures. So that 10 to 12% must be the only people that are using social media. So this is nice money that most people would be very happy to earn. I just want to give this a bit of perspective. The number one draft pick for the NBA, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. I guess I could have looked this up. Y'all, I'm on 4 hours of sleep. Work with me. He got signed to the San Antonio Spurs. Again, first round draft pick. I don't even know his name. I'm sure he's a lovely player, but like, was he on SNL? Was there like a big deal about him? Like, I haven't heard any fuss about him. Maybe because I'm not in sports circles. Caitlin Clark has gone from sports circles to mainstream media. I mean, literally, she was on SNL on Saturday. We'll talk about that. I didn't watch it, but just the idea of her being on there in a minute. I don't know him. I'm a guess that he's really good because he went number one. His 4-year contract is almost 14 million American USD dollars and dineros. I've been watching people argue about this all day. And they're like, hey, the NBA generates something like $10 billion a year. Like, that's why they pay the players all that. The WNBA, not so much. In fact, they're subsidized by the NBA because they're not breaking even. I understand that. I also understand the catch-22 of it all. And I had to research this. It's not something I knew off the top of my head. The NBA started officially. There were different competing leagues and they decided to merge, but officially became like the National Basketball Association in 1949. They've been around for 70 years. Women, I don't even know if they could attend a good chunk of universities to even play college ball, to even have like a farm system to go to a WNBA, which didn't exist until 96. That's the year I graduated from high school. It's a relatively new phenomenon. One organization's been around for, I don't know, almost 70 years. The other one's been around for almost 20. Yeah, they got a hell of a head start. Does any of this sound familiar? Like, you know how we talk about finances with like white folks and black folks? And it's like, you know, that whole history of slavery thing where it was like illegal to read. And then when black folks got free and started doing their own businesses, white folks would like burn the shit down. Not just the business, the whole fucking town. You had like a head start of like 1619 to like, I don't know, 1965. So like we talk about like the wealth gap between like white folks and black folks. And people be like, oh my God, black folks ain't got no money. Well, like, you know, white folks got a bit of a head start. It's really hard to have generational wealth dating back hundreds of years when, you know, you worked but didn't get paid for the first like 200 and change. I hate to make everything about race, but it's America. And I'm in South Africa, so it's like top of mind. I don't really think about race that much when I'm in Ghana, but I'm around all white people again. But the idea, like, we're not going to pay the women because nobody watches the sport because the sport is relatively new. And then also, I mean, forever and a day, people didn't think being a woman and being an athlete were synonymous. The same shit people talk about on the internet all day. You want to play sports? Like, shouldn't you be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen? I don't know. I understand that the sport has some growing to do, but I just think that, like, LeBron wouldn't get out of bed. 338,000 over 4 years, 76,000 a year as the number one draft pick. And I know she's going to make dumb money in endorsements. That's not even a question. She's probably earning more. I mean, not even probably. She was earning more as a college student than she is as a WNBA player. I think, remember Angel Reese last year? Somebody asked her about that after LSU won the championship. They asked if she was going to leave college early and go to the WNBA. And she was like, nah, I'm good. I make money. I'm straight. What's my little friend? The one I really like. Flajay, is that her name? At LSU. She just bought this Mercedes truck. It's beautiful. I had to look it up. Ma'am's truck is almost $200,000. I was like, oh, them college ladies getting paid. Go on and get your money, black ladies. Get your money. Caitlin Clark ain't black, but I'm like, I want sis to get her monies too. Just on the intersectionality of being black and a woman, I want this woman. And she seems like an all right lady. She ain't said nothing stupid as far as I can tell. So I like Caitlin Clark. I just don't like the way the media and the forces that be are positioning her. And she will. She'll get crazy endorsements. I think she's going to fuck around and end up on the cover of Vogue. I don't know why. It was something about the way Vogue covered the draft. And I was like, oh, she's going to end up on the cover. Look, I said this, a version of it last week, and I'm going to reiterate it again. And I just kind of said a little bit of it. I like Caitlin Clark. I think she wakes up and she goes hard and she plays her sport to the best of her ability. And she takes the opportunities that are being put in front of her, or she has a team that goes out and gets for her what she wants or what she should have. That's what your team is supposed to do. If you want to be the best, you're supposed to aim for the moon. And I think she's doing that. It's just frustrating to me to watch her. And by all accounts, she's a great athlete. I just want to reiterate that. My issue is not so much with Caitlin Clark. It's the culture around her where she's being elevated to this position. And I don't want to say she doesn't belong there. I'm just thinking, like, if she was a black woman on a team that hadn't won the last two championships, would she be offered, no matter how good a player she is, she's on losing teams, but would you be offered the opportunities that she receives? And it's not just something that happens with her. Remember, maybe I'm more into sports than I thought. I don't remember the girl's name. It was a pretty white girl. She used to play against Serena and she always lost. But she was a cute white girl tennis player. And so she was making more money than Serena, who was at the top of her game at the time. What's the girl's name? Was it Maria Sharapova? She wasn't winning. I'm reading this on Mashable. She was the world's highest paid female athlete, out earning Serena, who was winning all the damn time. So it's not just a Caitlin Clark thing. It's just she's the most prominent example of it at the moment. LSU wins the championship last year. LSU gets invited to the White House, and for some reason they decide, you know what, Iowa should come too. For what? For what? No disrespect, but they didn't win. Why do they get the White House invite? Has that ever happened before? I remember at the time people were saying no. That's odd. Again, Caitlin Clark ends up on Saturday Night Live, and by all accounts, she did a great job. Her segment was supposed to be really amazing. I haven't gone back and watched it. I have no desire to. My issue was not about the content of the segment, but like, you're on a losing team. How do you keep getting all the invites? Where's Coach Staley? Why wasn't she on SNL? I don't know if there's any, to my knowledge, player on her team who stands out the way that, say, like an Angel Reese does for LSU. But Coach Staley's face has been everywhere, and her team just won the championship. Why wasn't she on SNL? The leader of the team that didn't, and apparently that whole losing team, all showed up on the SNL set. Where were the actual winners? That shit doesn't make sense at all. My issue is not with Caitlin Clark, but there's a very clear media machine that is pushing her to be the face of women's basketball, even though, and again, all accounts, she's a good player, but she was on a losing team. Coach Staley's team was undefeated for an entire season and then won the championship. You don't think that's SNL worthy over Caitlin Clark? You see it.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Build for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
You are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from Jeanie Kane. I finally found a uniform I'm completely obsessed with. Jeanie Kane is a California brand through and through, and their staples make getting dressed easier than it's ever been before. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. From luxurious cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories to elevated versions of all your everyday basics, not to mention the most incredible home essentials too. Jeanie Kane is here to help you live your best year yet. And for a limited time, our listeners get 15% off their first order. Go to jeaniekane.com and use code RATCHET to get 15% off. Now, I love my Jeanie Kane sweaters. I get compliments every time I wear one, and they're so comfortable, I could truly live in them all year long. What I also love is everything in the Jeanie Kane collection is designed so intentionally, so you can style pieces together without a second thought. I love to pair their sweaters with everything from classic denim to a simple dress for a look that's effortless and so easily put together. Find your new uniform at jeaniekane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code RATCHET at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jeaniekane.com. Promo code RATCHET. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
And not so good black news, but also news that everybody and their damn mother saw coming. I think I called this when the show was announced, and frankly, I'm surprised it lasted this long. Gayle King and Charles Barkley, their show on CNN that like next to nobody watched, has been canceled. I don't know anybody that watched the show. Like, I never saw clips circulating on the internet. I never heard people talking about like, oh yeah, I was watching Gayle and Charles the other day and they were talking about blah, blah, blah. I'm sure somebody was watching it, but who? Apparently not enough people because CNN let it go. It was just a weird pairing. Like when I heard the announcement for it and I was like, Gayle King and Charles Barkley. I mean, they're people of a certain age. They have that in common. But like beyond that, like disposition wise, like, I mean, clearly it didn't work. I do hope they got their contracts paid out, though. I like to see all Black people get paid. And I think they're likable people. I don't think they did anything bad or they're not talented or they're just an awkward pairing. And for CNN at that, like, Gail's a hardcore journalist, but she just strikes me as somebody who's more, I don't know. I guess they were trying to bring more entertainment to news, but CNN got problems. Because I don't know who watches it anymore. Remember the early years of the podcast? I would constantly be like, yes, I was watching CNN and CNN. And then Don said, and then Chris said, and then Anderson said, CNN, CNN, CNN. Wolf Blitzer said, I would put CNN on. It's like just background. Last time I was home, my parents had fully converted to MSNBC. Like, that's all they watch. Like, that's their background noise. We'll watch for Abby Phillips. We love Abby. But like before, my mother would watch CNN all day. She would turn to MSNBC specifically to watch Rachel, and then she'd go back to CNN. And then before, my dad would watch CNN all day, and then he would turn to Joy Reid. Now they just go back to CNN for Abby, and that's it. They need to get it together. Like, it's an election year. And, you know, we're on the cusp of World War III. It would be great to have them back in fine form in time for war, which seems inevitable. I saw Diddy posting on the internet with his comments open. Rico Wade from Organized Noise recently passed away. He's a young man, still in his early 50s. Oh, his comments are still on. But he posted, not really a eulogy, but he posted an acknowledgement of Rico Wade's passing. He called him, quote, one of the greatest producers God ever created. You will be missed, but your music will live forever. Outkast, Goody Mob. That's probably what he's best known for, doing the beats for them. Also, he was fine all his life. My God, may he rest in peace. This is the first time Diddy's put his comments on since probably Cassie dropped that lawsuit. Some people acted decent and focused on the post at hand and sent condolences and hearts and prayer hands. And other people acted a whole goddamn fool. It's like 7,500 comments. The ones I can see right now are decent. I have a burner Instagram account. When I go under that one, the comments are not decent. I just did a couple quick scrolls and somebody asked Diddy, did you take him out too? Oh dear. Why you let Cassie win that lawsuit? I wonder what information he had. Oh dear. Oh dear. Okay. No, people are not respecting the dead. That was just the first 20 comments. For the most part, he's only been posting family, wishing folks happy birthday or acknowledging Kim's passing, pictures of the kids, but always with the comments off. This is literally the first time he's turned. This is literally, yesterday was literally the first time he turned his comments on. So maybe he's going to start posting again. Maybe he's feeling comfortable. Last but not least, we are all over the place this week. I barely slept. Work with me. Usually we talk about what I'm watching on TV at the beginning of the episode. Catching on the back end this week. I had to give up on Jerrod Carmichael. I thought about giving him another chance. I'm trying to support the Black man on TV. He making it difficult. So the first episode, he had the white feet in his mouth. And then the second episode, he made these jokes about he and his white boyfriend doing race play. And again, it's on the heels of the white feet in his mouth, which I just thought was just a very demeaning image. But the second episode, he makes this joke about all the things that he likes to do sexually. He's a very sexually charged person. So he says on the show, he's like, I'm like a 17-year-old. I'm trying to like date and fuck everybody while having a boyfriend. A whole nother topic. In that same section, he's talking about things that he likes to do sexually. He likes to spit in people's mouths. He likes to slap somebody with his dick. And he mentions race play, which is short version, letting your white man call you nigger. So fast forward to the end of the episode, and he makes this joke about his boyfriend. And he compares their dynamic to a slave and the master's son. I watched it and I was like, what did he just say? many people pick up on his comments about race play and then his comments about feeling like a slave and his boyfriend is the master's son. And then to make it even worse, like after he says it, he does this really terrible stereotypical depiction of what an enslaved person might sound like, speaking in broken English and speaking in a very demeaning way. Think like Samuel L. Jackson in Django. Everyone clowns him, one of those people being Charlemagne, who made him Donkey of the Day. Gerard Carmichael goes on The Breakfast Club and he puts a little bit of bass in his voice when he's talking to Charlemagne. He says Charlemagne was a friend. He expects places like TMZ to twist his words, but he expected more from Charlemagne because they're friends. And Charlemagne was like, you said what you said. And he was like, no, I was making a larger joke. So in Gerard Carmichael's head, because I watched it again and I was like, I don't feel like this is fully conveyed. He talks about his boyfriend is a voracious reader and is always introducing him to books. And then he makes the joke, which I didn't realize the two were intertwined. I thought he moved on to something else because of the race play comment earlier. But he says, boyfriend is always introducing him to books. And then he talks about how he feels like a slave, not an enslaved person, a slave. And then his boyfriend is the master's son teaching him how to read. And then he does the voice like, oh, so he was trying to explain the joke to Charlemagne. And Charlemagne was like, well, it wasn't funny. He said, well, I'm a professional comedian and I've been this for a very long time. Bruh, I feel you. And no one's doubting that you're a professional comedian. No one's doubting that you are funny. Like, I thought Rothaniel, as vulnerable as it was, even though it felt like a confessional, I also acknowledged that it was a stand up. Part of being a great comedian is being a masterful storyteller. Sometimes folks make bad jokes. Sometimes folks make jokes that just aren't fucking funny. I don't think anybody's saying he's a terrible comedian, but I think, like, you know, your joke was really fucked up, seeing as how a good core chunk of the audience who viewed it, especially the Black people, were like, nigga, what? Between the race play and then him going on The Breakfast Club, acting all offended, and then doubling down, like, I'm a professional comedian and, like, I know how to make jokes, and bruh, just take the L. He's made this show where he wants to be outlandish and provocative and put himself in these really uncomfortable positions. And it's very cringy to watch. He wants to evoke that feeling from the viewer. Like, I get it. But like, in your attempt to be all these, you know, shocking things, you went too far. And you went too far with an audience that you genuinely seem to care about their opinion and their acceptance of you. Just take the L and move on. We all say dumb shit. I get on this podcast, I think I say dumb shit at least once an episode at this point. At least according to the internet. Y'all like to tell me when I say outlandish shit. Sometimes y'all be right though. I had this theory about Beyonce going to Brazil. This is during Renaissance. I had this theory that she was priming the audience in Brazil to see like if the audience would be ready or receptive to like Renaissance. And somebody on Twitter was like, Demetria, please. It's Beyonce. Beyonce? And I was like, I mean, when you say it back to me like that, like, I mean, a point was made. It perhaps wasn't my best take. But y'all be getting in my ass for like little shit. And I'm just like, oh, y'all just don't like me. But I guess the hate listen counts. It all counts toward my stream. So I thank you. Please keep hate listening. Keep me from shaking my titties on OnlyFans. Yo, that number hurt my heart. I don't think you understand. I didn't watch Gerard Carmichael this week, but I did watch, it's called We Are the Lucky Ones on Hulu. It's kind of like Roots, but for Jewish people. It's a Jewish family. I think they're in Poland at the beginning of World War II. And basically how their lives very quickly go to shit because of anti-Semitism. But it's based on a true story. But there's a lot of overlap with Black families during slavery, the dehumanization and the separation of families, the senseless killing. It's definitely a hard watch, but I think it's a really hard story, really well told, and it's got budget, not budget in terms of glamour, but budget in terms of sprawl. It's a really amazing story about a family separate and fighting to survive and keep their familial connection. It's usually not the type of thing that I recommend, but it's a really good story. Like, if you have time to watch it, and it's one of those things you have to really pay attention to, and you want to sit in your feelings. It's not This Is Us level of sitting in your feelings, but it can be very heartbreaking at times. But if you have the time, I think the first 5 episodes are up on Hulu right now. It's called We Were the Lucky Ones. So if you get a chance, and ain't nary a Black person in the film. I tried to recommend it to my mom, and she was like, what else you got? Sometimes you just be in the mood to look at Black people. I get it. Really great story. I think that's everything. I updated my Amazon store. The link to it is on my Instagram page. I think it's, since I have you here, it's amazon.com/shop/Demetria L. Lucas. Put a few more things on there, a couple books. My friend Shaniqua Golding has a book coming out soon. And then a couple other travel things, like an electric toothbrush. And then a couple other travel things. I picked up some stuff over here that also is on Amazon. So I just went ahead and added it to my page. I did a whole page just for caftans. I have a picture of myself in a caftan as the main photo on my Amazon page. And when people went to the site, they were like, so, hey, like, where's the caftan? And I was like, well, I didn't get that one off Amazon, but Amazon does have really good caftans. I like a good caftan either for a beach day or when I travel to the Middle East, I need something that's like very beautiful and very flowy, but then also that, you know, covers me. So I'm culturally appropriate. So I made a whole page just for caftans, but there's some other goodies in there. And also, as promised, I'm not necessarily doing another drop, I don't think, of the See Some World merchandise, but I am going to put it on pre-order. And that's going to start in May, and it'll be out for delivery in June. I'm not doing everything that was available for the last ship, but a lot of it will be there. But also the Ratchet and Respectable stuff. I haven't done merch for the podcast in, gosh, almost 2 years. So this will be an opportunity to get it. And I'm doing pre-orders for that as well. So you don't have to like Hunger Games it out in order to get merchandise. Because last time, that was crazy. I ordered so much merchandise, triple what I've done in previous drops. And it lasted, other than like the extra smalls and smalls, like a day, if that. Most of it was sold out by like 11 a.m. Some would say that's a good problem, but like you get a bunch of angry Black women literally cursing you out because you don't have their size available. I don't know if you'd still call it a good problem. But we'll see. All right. Not everything, but that's what we got. I will talk to y'all Friday. All right. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.